something I desire, and that I will seek after. I will dwell in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold your beauty and to inquire your presence. Father, it makes a lot of sense. There is nothing more beautiful than your presence. There is nothing more glorious than your presence. Oh Father, restore. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. To be in your presence. To experience your presence. To be in your glory. To experience the wonderful glory. Deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul longs after you. You are beautiful. You are just beautiful. You are beautiful. And you created us for your pleasure. Oh Father, restore us. Restore the joy. Really, the amazing glory to be in the courts of your presence. You are beautiful beyond comprehension. You are too marvelous to behold. Oh Father, restore the beauty. Restore the beauty of your presence. Restore, Lord. Restore us back to your presence. Restore us back to your glory. There is nothing like you. Nothing. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You know, we have lost something. We've truly lost the beauty of the glory of God. As we're just worshiping this morning, this afternoon, it's a beauty, just praising God. There's something about just being in the presence of God. We're just celebrating in praise. And as we worship God, there is nothing like the presence of God. Peter, on the mountain, when he tasted the glory of God, he says, I just want to stay here. Let's just build something, a tabernacle. Let's just stay. Because he tasted something on the mountain of God's glory. We have lost something. Father, please restore to us the beauty, the glory of your presence. Restore to us the joy of worship, the joy of praise, because we're not just singing, we're not just worshiping, we are in. And in your presence, there is fullness,
yes, God,
of joy.
Yes.
No wonder this song says, your presence is heaven.
Yes.
It's heaven to me. It's really true. It's really true. So Father, please, remember your covenant. Your covenant. Brought us through the blood of your Son to you and you to us. Father, forgive us. However, we've lost it. as your church, as your people. We want it back. We want your glory again to fill our temples. We want your glory again to permeate our assemblies. We want again to taste and see why you are God. Father, restore what drives, what attracts us to gather as your people. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Amen. Adam and Eve, really, they had something going for them. I can literally understand why the devil was jealous, because as Lucifer, he lived in that presence. He lived in that presence for a long time until he was cast out of that presence. To be out of the presence of God is misery, is darkness. He was so jealous when he saw that the glory of the Lord covered Adam and Eve, clothed them. They were enjoying something they didn't know what they had until the enemy lied to them. And they also fell to that lie and lost the presence of God. Ever since then, man has been groping. Something in the being, inside of man, has been crying. But many times we don't really know what we are missing, what we are crying for. And at the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11, man was longing to be united back to God. Unfortunately, it was a deception, because they were longing to worship God their way. And Satan loved that. So at the Tower of Babel, that's where men were giving different tongues. And there was a separation. From there, the tongues of the nations came. Genesis 11. But thank God for the redemptive power of the blood of the Lamb. Something happened on the day of Pentecost. After Jesus, on Resurrection Sunday, have now brought in a new blood. Now the blood of Jesus, instead of scattering the tongues of the nations, with one blood, Revelation 5 says, we have now been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb from every tongue, every tribe, every nation. And now, through that blood, we have one voice again, with many tongues. And we can worship God in the beauty of his holiness. Father, we thank you so much for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for bringing us back and giving us the beauty of the tongues of nations to worship you as one before your throne. We are grateful. We are so grateful. We are so thankful, Lamb of God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wow. This really, when we are alone in worship, when we are just alone, spending time with God, there's such a blessing, such glory, such personal encounter. But when we come together like this, there's something that really, really makes God happy. And what you taste, what you experience, you can never experience alone. It's amazing. Father, really restore your glory back to us. Please, sir, we need it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I really believe God is restoring something back to us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Say, He's restoring something back to us. He's restoring something back to us. The glory of His presence. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about titles, but sometimes at certain themes of messages help us remember something better. What I'm about, what the Lord has put on my heart to share today with us as a body, not just the body of Mount Zion, but the body of Christ. You will understand it from different aspects of the scriptures and what the Spirit of God is saying to us. But I just want to title it Serious Times. Mm. Amen?
Amen.
Serious Times. Serious Times. Amen.
Amen.
I want us to open to Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. I want to read from verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, in the womb, I knew thee. And before thou came forth out of the womb, before you were born, I set you apart. I sanctified you. I set you apart. And then I ordained you, meaning I anointed you, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. That's what God said to Jeremiah when he was a young man and as God was preparing him. So let's read another verse, the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. I'll read from verse 26. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit of the Lord, also helps our infirmity, our weaknesses or limitations. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, Romans 8, 27. And He that searches the hearts of man knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. As God knows what's the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will, according to the plan, the will, the purpose of God. Verse 28. And we know when we come out of this life of prayer that we know that all things, God works all things together for good, for them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, called according to His purpose. God works all things for good, for them that love God, for them that are called according to His purpose, His plan. 29, for whom He did foreknow, Jeremiah says, I knew you before you were conceived. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Had a plan, had a purpose. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. that he might be, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen?
Amen.
Born of the same parents. That's what we call brethren. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, whom he did predestinate, that he called, then he also, whom he did predestinate, he also called. Look at that. Whom he did predestinate, he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. And then, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Father, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Holy Spirit, I yield to you, the teacher, the preacher, the only one who opens the eyes of our understanding to bring us to the knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of our destiny. Have your way. Awaken understanding by your revelation. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Serious times. The two scriptures we just read doesn't need a lot of interpretation. But just to quickly go through that before we go through this. God spoke clearly to Jeremiah. Remember, this is the word of the Lord. This is the creator of the universe speaking to his own creation. And he says, when you come into this world, you did not come without the knowledge of God. It doesn't matter how you came. The parents that brought you, it doesn't matter how you came, but you did not come without the knowledge of God. He says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, while you were in the womb being formed, God set you apart. Meaning, in the plan of God, you are unique. You're special to God. And then why he set you apart, it's like a puzzle. He has a purpose for you to fulfill. A purpose for me to fulfill. And for Jeremiah, he says that purpose was to be the voice of God to the nations. Now, then Paul, having come out of a very religious background, now discovered the plans of God. God started revealing something to him. In Romans 8, Paul now said that we pray and sometimes we don't realize that our prayers can be limited to just the food I want to eat, the car I want to drive, the career I want, the wife I want, the husband I want, the house I want, the job I want. Our prayers are good and we pray for God to meet the necessary needs of our life and our families. But he says the Spirit, when he prays for us, it goes beyond our human ability to pray. And the Spirit of God intercedes for us according to God's plan that God had in mind before we were formed in our mother's womb. And he says, when God prays that, when you get to the point where you pray in the spirit or you pray the will of God, the word of God over your life, he says something will begin to happen. And no matter the direction your life goes, no matter what the enemy does, no matter circumstances you face, say God will take every situation and turn it around to fulfill his purpose in your life. All things, not some. See that in the life of Joseph and so many people, the enemy taught to derail their destiny. But as long as you seek the will of God for your life, the ultimate plan of God for your life, God will answer that prayer and turn every circumstance in your life around for good. Then the first thing God says in Romans that God will do is first to bring you into the identity for which you are born again. To bring you into that image of Christ. So you know that you are born of God, you are a son of God, and literally says you have the DNA of Jesus, because in this it says you are, he is the firstborn among many brethren. Then he said, when you now come to that place of knowing your true identity now, that you're born again, knowing, coming into that place of maturity that you have the image of Christ. He says, then you enter a place where you no more walk by sight. In other words, what does it mean to walk by sight? You no more live in this world completely consumed by what you see outwardly by the flesh and living for what you see mostly outwardly. He says you begin to walk by faith. Meaning now that you're a son of God, you begin to live out the plans and purposes of who lives inside of you and who lives, who you live for, which is God. Thus, it says you will be justified by faith. You now start living by faith, no more by sight in this world. That's the place of maturity. And then when you start living by faith, you say, now God will glorify you. Now you're able to fulfill that assignment. So that sounds very scripture. So God, I like to use natural example that God uses for me and to make what the Lord is speaking here make sense. And remember, the title of this is Serious Times. I have a few, two examples I want to use to explain what the scriptures are saying. So basically, we, man, every man that comes into this world has predominantly three seasons of their lives. Three predominant seasons. Three major seasons. The first is when you experience God. Because once you come into this world, naturally, you're living out your life, living without really knowing the purpose. You're in this world, we're blinded by the God of this world. We came in this world, we're born into this world. So, as long as we're born into this flesh, we are limited by what we see, what we eat, what we feel, the things of this world. So the first major season of your life is a transition from just living a worldly life to being aware of God in your life. After Jesus came, we call it born again. Before Christ, it was having an encounter in the Old Testament way. The awareness, the awakening of God. So that first awakening, aware of God, or being born again, brings you into the realization of God, the creator of the universe, through Christ. Now, you are still in the world, you are still living in the world, but at that level, that first season, is the season that your calling has been activated. A calling has been activated in your spirit the moment you're born again. A lot of people don't realize that. That's the first season. We'll get back to that very soon. The second season of your life is many, and in most generations, very few who come to the realization of their calling, and they understand that their calling has to do with their assignment. When they come to that understanding, then they begin to redeem their life in the way of God preparing them. They go into the second phase of their life called preparation. And then the third level is the preparation will bring you to the maturity he's talking about, where you are very clear what your identity is. You're not just living in church, you know who you are. Once you come into that understanding of your identity, in that level of maturity, not the flesh man, but the spirit man, then you are now ready for the third season of your life before you leave this world. And that is fulfilling your assignment. So three levels of awakening: the calling, the preparation, and the fulfillment of your assignment for which God knew before you were formed. So these are the three dimensions of seasons every man goes through. But many times in human history, very few people are able to walk in this reality to the fullness of it. Now, let me use the examples that will give us more meanings to this, and then we'll go to that. There are several examples, but I want to use two that these three seasons make sense. Noah is number one. He was living in a generation that has completely lost their purpose for life. They've completely disconnected from the Creator. And they've completely aligned themselves to Satan's agenda for man. So it was a generation that was completely corrupted their understanding of why they are in the earth. Noah was born in that generation. And so Noah was righteous in the sight of God. And because of that, Noah had an awakening, meaning a call, at the age of 500 years about there. Genesis, the last verse, it was Genesis 6, the last verse. And Noah had a calling. And in the calling means when you encounter God. A lot of people encounter God and just still live the way they, when you encounter God and literally start pursuing God, start going after God. As you start searching the Bible, start praying, start seeking, start finding the blueprint of God for your life, then you begin to have an awareness of a sense of calling. Everybody is not called to the same thing. It's like a puzzle. A puzzle of an elephant, everybody can be the head. Everybody can be the leg. Everybody can be the stomach. So your calling, you start having a sense of your calling. Now, Noah had that. And in that sense of him being aware of God, being pursuing God, finding grace, finding himself favor in the presence of God, now God says, Noah, I'm calling you now with an assignment, with a purpose. When Noah answered that call, God gave him the blueprint for preparation. And the blueprint for Noah's preparation in his days was a physical preparation, but also a spiritual. In Noah's days, God told him to build an ark. And he gave him all that Noah needed, the dimensions, everything. And so the period when Noah took that blueprint, that architectural design, and started putting the plan, until the time the ark was finished, was a preparation time for Noah in his days. Why was it a preparation time? Because Noah was building something absolutely by faith. And his whole life was invested in doing that. Knowing that everything he was doing was by faith. So that's the preparation time. Then, when the ark was finished, Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, when the ark was finished, now God now told Noah, you are now entering into the season of fulfillment, into the season of assignment, into the season now of fulfilling the assignment, because now the years of preparation has been fulfilled. So those were the physical things. And God gave him the timing. You have 7 days to start this assignment, and give him, and we'll get to that later. The time of fulfillment was God's time. Amen? Another example I want to use, and then we'll go into summarizing this picture. of destiny is Moses. Moses was living in Egypt, what we call the world today, like every one of us living in Egypt. And Egypt is a type of the world, the system of the world, the thinking, the mindset of the world, everything about the world that is disconnected from the purposes of God. So Moses was living, was born into Egypt, and Moses had an awakening that he was a Jew. It's a type of realizing that he was under God's covenant, kind of born again, being awakened. And when he came to that realization and he understood that he was a Jew, even though he was living in the world, he carried, as he realized that, he now carried a sense of calling. And in that sense of calling, Moses thought, now let me carry out the assignment. And that's when he realized, no man can fulfill the assignment of God without being prepared for it. Because the things of God can only be done supernaturally. So God now took Moses out of Egypt and now prepared him. So now Moses went through a season, the second season of his life, which was preparation in the wilderness. And when you're in preparation, doesn't mean you're not working, you're not doing things, you're not, but that's the preparation Moses went through for 40 years. And at the end of that season of Moses' life, Moses now was now called by God to now enter into a new season. And that season is the season of fulfillment, fulfilling the assignment. And that time of fulfilling the assignment is called God's time. Now, let's get back to Noah and Moses putting it together. You see now, predominantly, we have these three seasons. And these three seasons has to do with God's plan. And it's called destiny. What we read in the book of Romans, it says, for whom God foreknew, he also predestined. Meaning God has plans for everyone before you were born. But the thing is, the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. When people choose not to pursue and gain understanding of God's calling, purpose, and stuff, they end up, the enemy takes advantage of it. So now we see these three seasons in the life of these two people. All through the Bible is like that, but these two people is our example for today. God called Noah, God called Moses, God called you. But the difference is that these two people were aware of this calling and they really wanted to go. That became their passion. That doesn't mean they were not doing other things. Moses was in school of Egypt, the best of it. But he carried a passion, a burden for this calling. Noah had families, Noah had things. When Noah was building the ark, preparing, that was, listen to this, that was the time of God's long suffering. God already knew what was coming. God already knew where he was taking the world. But then he has to have vessels or wineskin or people that will partner with him on earth to bring about his plans in the earth. And he has to work with them to be ready for that season. Not only for them, but to prepare their generation to be ready for that season. So that time of preparation, God waits. So that's why the Bible says, God's long suffering awaited in the days of Noah until the ark was in preparation. So now, Noah was 500 years old when God called him. Genesis 5, the last verse. And when the ark was ready, Genesis chapter 7, Noah was 600 years old. Those days they lived very long. So when God was preparing the ark through Noah, the ark also, the Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So what happened was Noah was now preaching to that generation about God's plan for that generation. God kept telling them, Noah, you only preach what you receive from God.
Noah was a preacher of righteousness, meaning what God was telling him. So he was telling that generation, I have received a visitation from God. And God is saying he's not pleased with what is going on. And they need to repent. They need to turn back to God. As always, the Bible says they laugh, they scoff, they mock. And then why Noah will build the ark? Of course, they will come to ask him, why are you doing this, foolish man? Why are you doing this? You're building an ark in a big forest, dry place, where there's no sign of river, no sign of water, and you're cutting all these timbers and walking day and night to build this thing. What are you building it for? Noah said, I'm building it because one day, God says it's going to rain. And this thing, where all these things you're seeing will no more be there. He made them laugh the more. So Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Meaning while the ark was in preparation, Noah was preparing the generation. Warning the generation. Speaking to the generation. Calling the generation's attention to the things of God. But they refused to hear. That's always what happens. So now that was the preparation. Meanwhile, the ark was being made ready. So when the ark was finished, there is something God does whenever assignment time is ready. God does it for every generation. It's called signs and wonders. For the unbeliever, for the people who are looking at the natural, God will always use signs and wonders so to awaken a generation to the times of fulfillment. So in the days of Noah, when the time was ready, God spoke to Noah. He says, now let's gather all the animals by twos and come in their sevens, male and female, into the ark. What happened? It was a supernatural miracle of that generation. The birds came two by two. Every animal you see today, every reptile you see today, every crawling thing you see today, every creeping thing you know today, every flying thing you know today that cannot live in the sea, everything you see today came two by two, and some in their sevens. They knew all of them knew where the ark is. All of them came to where the ark is. All of them knew that like the tortoise that goes very slow. He knew he has to leave early enough to get there before 7 days was over. You think it was a natural thing? It was a supernatural move. God used angels to mobilize the greatest miracle ever known to men in that generation. God always does signs and wonders for unbelievers. So that was a major sign before the rain. And that generation saw it, but still Noah pleaded with them. They saw the sign, but they did not respond. And then what happened? Those who had ears entered the ark. The animals are in the ark. Everybody's in the ark. And now, that is God's time. The times of fulfillment, the times of assignment, are usually, when you call it fulfillment, means these are God's time. What does it mean, God's time? It's when what God has already planned takes effect in the earth. Whenever God's time comes, that means the time of man has expired. The time God gave to man to do their things, live the way they want, without God or with God, their program is over. Now is God's program. Not just God, the creator, the maker, the one who planned, who started everything, that's when his program started. So I want you to know why I said these are serious times. In Noah's days, that is a serious time. Men played with it, men mocked. Noah was barely telling them, guys, this is God's time. This is what God is saying. Nothing can stop God's time. It's called in Bible times of fulfillment. Fulfilling what? God's plan, God's promises. What God has said before time. So how much time did God give to them in those days while Noah was preparing the ark? About 100 years. So when men, nothing happened, Noah was preparing, men had their time. God didn't interrupt it. So man was building, man was drinking, man was marrying, man was building their kingdom. So to them it's like, this is the way life ought to be. We are in charge, we will live the way we want, and nothing is wrong with that. So man comes to a place where we literally believe the world belongs to us and we can live without God. So that was man's time. That is always man's time. So I'm using this to paint a picture. But man's time expires. And in Noah's days, it expired. And God now starts saying, this is my time, this is my time, and did this big miracle to show everybody only God can do that. And this is my time. So what happened? They got into the ark and the door was shut. My brothers and sisters, that's why when the preaching doesn't work, Noah preached for 100 years, it doesn't work, God will do great miracles, great signs to wake up the church, to wake up the world. And if you don't listen to the signs, at some point the door will close. And that's what happened in Noah's days. And guess what? You and I are alive today because Noah had enough faith to walk by faith. He was matured. He didn't walk by sight. So that was that. Moses' days, Moses went from calling 40 years. He went to the season of preparation 40 years. At the end of the preparation, guess what happened? God sent him back. To do what? To fulfill an assignment. What was the assignment? He was now a vessel, a wineskin, now ready by faith to fulfill what God has already spoken will be. Spoken to Abraham, spoken through all the generations up to the time of Moses. God already said it before. And until the time comes, God lets man live the way they want without him if they choose to. So Egypt was doing their own thing. The children of Israel was in Egypt doing their own thing, and they were in captivity from their calling, their purpose in life. So Moses, after his preparation, now it is time for assignment. Guess what? It's God's time. So when it's God's time, God begins to do something that will get the attention of men. So what did God do? God started a process of plague in Egypt. A process of shaking. And that shaking was to let Pharaoh know, this is my time now. I have a plan. The people that you're holding captive, you're holding them captive because I said it will be so for a time. And when that time expires, you have to let them go into my plan for them. And this is one thing that men don't understand. When God spoke to Pharaoh, men will always stick to their pride, stick to their ways, stick to the strength of their nations, stick to like, this is my nation, this is my this is my that, this is my gender, this is my that, because God has allowed them to live so long, and now they think there's no room for God, and God can stop anything. So now, whenever it's God's time, any nation that doesn't humble himself gets humbled. So Pharaoh was greatly humbled. Egypt was greatly devastated. Listen, one plague alone is shaking the world. God did 9 plagues, so you know how ruined Egypt was. From their way of life, from their way of thinking, from their way of living. They were so desperate to let the children of Israel go. So now, at the 10th plague, something happened. And guess what happened eventually? The plan and purpose of God was released out of Egypt. And that's Israel. To fulfill their assignment. So, but we're talking about Moses now. So if you look at Noah and Moses, they represent the picture of every one of us in our generation. God's time of fulfillment is called Kairos moment. Now, really quick, the season we are in right now is like what I described. The days of Noah or the days of Moses in Egypt And the Bible, actually, Jesus even said, he said, our days will be like the days of Noah. So now, he says, our days, now we have the church. The church that represents God. And from what I described with you, the true church is being in preparation. God has been preparing an end time church. God has been preparing the church because the church has backslidden so much that we don't even know our identity and we don't even know how to fulfill that assignment in the earth the way it was from the book of Acts. A remnant still does. It's not everybody. So now God has been preparing the church, preparing his people. So now the church that God is preparing is ready. They might not know it, you might not know it, but it's ready. And because it's ready, remember everything that happens in the physical world begins in the spirit. So because it's ready, the season we are now is the season of fulfillment. Fulfilling what? What God has already spoken before time. What God has spoken before time is now coming into the seasons of fulfillment. And those people who have received a sense of calling, true calling, and those who true calling has been in the wilderness of preparation, they understand what the assignment is. Because God does not change what is written here. And they read it, they understand, like you know. So, and the Spirit of God reveals it to them. So like Moses, like Noah, is written here. There are things that have been spoken by God clearly here. And if you put them from one prophet to the other, from Revelation to the other, God says it will be fulfilled at a particular time when the church is ready. And now the church is ready. But how do you know the church is ready? Just like the days of Noah, God will always do a big miracle, a big sign to prepare that generation. He did it for Noah, he did it for the days of Moses and so many other generations. So, COVID-19 is the beginning of that sign for the church and for the generation we live in. God will always do a sign that is always going to be beyond the comprehension of man, so that we know that it's a supernatural sign. Though God can use men, God can use any situation to do it, but when God does it, you will know only God can orchestrate something like that. Even if you use this man. So COVID-19, God uses man or allows what the devil meant for evil and uses it. He said God will take and work all things for good to fulfill his purpose. So God has used this to create the greatest awakening in our human history. What was the purpose of awakening? Like he did with Noah, like he did with Moses, is a sign and wonder for that generation to be told one thing. It is now God's time. And whenever it is God's time, like I told you, the days of Noah, the days of Moses, the world and the people of the world will always hold on to their pride. They will hold on to what they are used to. They will hold on to what they know. And they said, we're going to keep living the way we live. We're going to keep trusting. I mean, this is the way we know. That's how we're going to live. But the purpose of the coronavirus is a warning. It's a wake up. I can see Noah pleading. I can see Noah weeping for that generation. Begging them, go in the ark. See the animals. See this great miracle, go in the ark. I can see him pleading. You know why I know Noah was reluctant to go into that ark? Because when he looks at these people, he looked out there, he saw friends, he saw people he knew, he saw people he's been warning for a long time, he saw parents, he saw children, he saw a lot of people. God had to close the ark. Because when you see what God is about to do, and you've been pleading and you're warning people, and you see the rebellion, and you see where men, and you know what is coming, you're human, your heart will be broken. But God had to close the ark because Noah could not. So now, in our time, everybody that is living on earth today, it's like the day 9/11 happened. Everybody living in the world today has been literally, at some point at the beginning, they literally were shocked and overwhelmed by what just happened to the world. It was a wake up. It was a miracle. It was a wonder that the whole world experienced and still coming out of it. But guess what? That's why God uses messages like this, uses people who understand the times and seasons, and God will use different people across the world, and they are sounding the alarm, they are pleading with the generation, just like I'm talking to you now. My friends, the time of the world is expired. Yeah. The time God gave to man to do whatever they like is over. I just told you with examples. Does it mean men will continue to live? It will continue. But what I mean by God's time is now, the things that will begin to happen in the earth going forward from now are already written here. It means the time where God begins to fulfill the things he's spoken and written in the Bible, that will happen. So that's why it's called the season of fulfillment. During the season of fulfillment, God gives every believer, those that are now born again, he gives everybody opportunity to redeem the time. Because many of us have been ignorant of the purpose we were called, the purpose we were born. So if you hear this message and you don't prioritize why you were born, why you're in this earth, then you are not a wise virgin. The wise now begin to tailor their life towards the very purpose of the world. So this is called a moment to redeem the time. Well, how do you redeem the time? You now begin to take the things of God seriously, because these are serious times. You don't have the time to lavish like before. Whatever you do now, you should be asking God, what is your plan for me? How do I fit as a puzzle in the body? How do I serve your purpose? This is no more time for you to live your own agenda like you used to. Whatever you do now must be tailored towards how you use your life, your business, your job, your school, anything to serve the plan of God. The Noah's days, let me tell you how serious it is. I'm telling you, this is serious times. For example, the people in Noah's days will say, oh, let's keep building homes. Let's keep doing this. Let's keep doing that. Of course, they have their own way of schooling in those days. They have children. They have young people. They have adults. Whatever the population was, life as it is now was there. The Bible made it clear. It said they were marrying, giving in marriage. They were doing all kinds of things, building and planting. So what happened? It was a rejection, complete rejection of God's plan. And guess what happened? That thing that they were doing, that thing their focus was in, was all gone. And they went with it. That's why I call it serious times. The days of Moses, do you know? What about those Jews that would say, you know what, I'm not going to go into that blood on my doorpost and do it. And let me go to work that night. Let me go do the things. Let me go take care of my cattle. Let me go do all those things. And they are not on that where the blood is. What would have happened? What would the Egyptians that are doing things as usual, their life after the ninth plague was, their whole process of life was altered. Because it was God's time. My brothers and sisters, the only reason why God will do such miracle, he knows how stubborn man is. And he knows how self-willed man is. So God has to do something that will blow human mind just to wake us up. And if you, after hearing this message over and over, your school was shut down, your business was shut down, your government was shut down, everything was shut down, you are made to stay at home, Are you going to go back to this same thing without thinking, what is God saying to me? So that's the purpose of this message. So really quickly, to summarize, this is the sign of God. COVID-19, the way God has allowed it to impact the whole world, from kings to president, to poor to rich, to small to great. Everybody knows COVID-19. Even new children. Why? Because it's a wonder and a sign. And this is the message for you today. It is the season of fulfillment. It is God's time. Nothing again will go according to men's agenda. Does it mean men won't have agenda? They will only start fulfilling the agenda the way God has it written here. Now, God's agenda, as he has it written here, when the sign begins, remember, they went into the ark and later the rain came. My brothers and sisters, the only way Noah's people could survive that day and move forward with God's plan, they were in the ark. In the days of Moses, the only way they could survive that day, move forward, they were under the blood. This is the time, if you're not born again, to give your life to God. And if you're born again, this is not the time to live for yourself. And so, time for you to live for your last assignment. We're talking about assignment means to fulfill, redeem the time, to fulfill God's plan. Some of us don't know what it is. It's time to go back to the Word of God. And so, what we want to do, because of the seriousness of what is coming, I can tell you how broken sometimes overnight when I'm praying and reading, I'm thinking about what God is doing, I am weeping. Because I know a lot of people fall into the same trap like the days of Noah. They will reject this awakening, they will reject this call, and what is coming next will sweep people like a nightmare. The shaking that is coming next. Let me tell you, the next shaking that is coming, whichever one is coming, I don't know if it's the economy or earthquake or whatever thing that is coming, whatever is coming next, and whenever it comes, the government will not be ready for it, not here in America. The one the government is ready for and planned for, you're able to prepare your food, do stuff, look at what it's costing. What about something they are not even aware and they're not ready for? That's what is coming next. So when God is saying it's time, God will not say it's time and leave you to survive on your own. God will prepare a way for you to enjoy God's time. And one of the ways God prepared, he used the word spiritually, is called Psalms 91. Was an illustration. Psalms 91 made it very clear, you are in God's plan. You are in God's agenda. You are under God's covenant. What did he say in Psalm 91? He says, nothing that happens in a time of shaking will affect you. Instead, you'll be riding with the provisions of angels. You will be lifted up like the days of Joseph. Like the days of Noah, you'll be in the ark with all the food you want, and you just like you're on a holiday in a, what is it, cruising, you're cruising in the midst of shaking. God's plan and provision is being made for you to escape this moment. Not just escape, enjoy the moment. Because it's a moment God is dealing with evil you don't have a clue has been destroying the foundations of creation. So, that's why we're here. That's why the warning. That's why the awakening. And these words I'm speaking will judge you if you don't change and move. What does it mean judge? When these things start happening, you'll be somewhere. If you're not in Christ, you're not committed, you'll be somewhere when this start happening and says, I remember they told me this. So you will carry your own guilt because you've been warned. Now, how can you prepare? How do you know? One of the ways we want to do that in Mount Zion is this, serious times. We are going to start a school of ministry. And the reason we call it a school of ministry is to make room for people to understand not just the times, but to be rooted and grounded and be confident in what God, their identity, and moving into the plan of God for their life. This school of ministry will cover a detailed crash program. We're going to cover a very detailed crash program for 3 months that will literally empower you as we go into this season, you will not fear, you will not, because we're going to enjoy the visitations of the Lord. But I just feel the urgency for people to quickly run towards being trained and equipped and ready for this moment. If you think you don't need it, your job is more important, your children, all these things are more important, this message will remind you when the time comes. I'm not threatening you. I'm telling you out of fear, the serious moment we live in. The government is worldly. They don't know the spiritual things. No one knew. Moses knew. And those who are listening to God have been prepared for years. They know what is coming. They know it's not just Mount Zion. There are voices out there that know. There's a new normal right now for the world. But we have a new normal spiritually. And the new normal is what I'm telling you. A bigger shaking is coming. And this is the moment for you to start entering into fulfilling your purpose and calling in destiny. So this ministry, School of Ministry, is one of our ways to really, really begin to enforce equipping and training people quickly to be grounded and rooted in the things of God, and for them to start understanding how to fulfill God's agenda in their workplace, wherever you are, to start literally living out your assignment and your calling, so that in these last days, you'll be promoted in the course of adversity. You'll be blessed when people are struggling. You have more when people are lacking. Famine is coming. You have plenty. That is just the message. So if you want to be part of this School of Ministry, quickly sign up. Call the church office or call, you have our information on Facebook. Sign up for it. We might, if we have a lot of people sign up, we'll make provision for online training, because we want to do this in an accelerated manner. But we want to start that School of Ministry as quickly as possible. And we have teachers already preparing to help equip you and empower you. We want to give Mount Zion people priority and a privilege to run with this program as quickly as possible. Amen.
Amen.
That is the message for today. Now, there's something that we normally do on the first Sunday of every month. And it's something that reminds us we are in covenant with God. We are in covenant. We are under God's covenant. That's Psalms 91. We are in relationship with God. And it reminds us that the blood covenant guarantees us the best that God has, especially in trying times. We have entered God's time, and this covenant, this communion we take, reminds us not to be afraid. We have everything that God has to keep us protected and secured. So as we take our communion today, we do this in remembrance of God, Jesus' promises to us. So we do this just to remind ourselves what he's done for us. So as we take this covenant, take it with Psalms 91 in mind. Take it that you are in covenant and you are under God's sacred place. And the season we have entered now, you, like Noah's Ark, you are in the right place. And God will take care of you. God will bless you. God will keep you from virus. God will keep your family, keep your children. God will bless you. That is what the blood of Jesus has guaranteed. So I'm going to ask my beautiful super honey to lead us as we pray. See, we're in covenant. And every time I look at my ring, my ring reminds me we're in covenant. And because we're in covenant, whatever happens to her happens to me. You see, and everything, I will do everything to protect her. I will do everything to stand by her. That is little compared to what Jesus is saying with this. See, every time we take this covenant, he is the bride, groom. We are the bride. And all the provisions of God, all the resources of heaven, is being provided for us to be in that place of blessing. So let's take this today, wherever you are, can get your bread, because I will lead us, pray in that area, and I will close.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are partakers of this new covenant. We thank you for what your Son did for us on the cross. Lord, today we remember the wonderful work of salvation that was done for us. We receive it, we celebrate it, and we thank you, O God. Lord, we ask that the benefits of the death of Jesus will accrue to us today as we partake of your body and your blood. Let the full meaning and the full impact of what you did become real to us. Lord, that we live in perfect health, we live in perfect relationship with you, and we live in perfect protection by you. As we come under your covering now, and we say thank you for what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we have taken, as we eat this bread, you said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. This bread represents your word, and we have taken your word. That's why you live in us. So we have received your promise. And so, Father, we thank you that this blood has made it possible, the blood of the Lamb. Is our receipt, is our inheritance. Is your covenant you made from generations with Noah, with Abraham, with the children of Israel, with Moses, and even now a better covenant with us. Father, we thank you. And by this covenant, we are totally at peace. By this covenant, we are covered. By this covenant, our time of promotion has come. By this covenant, our time of inheritance and blessing has come. By this covenant, this is your season of fulfillment. Our promises, the promises you made towards us, now will be fulfilled. Those things we've been waiting for, those things we've been looking to you for, Father, we thank you that the season for your miracles to come has come. The season of your visitation has come. We thank you. We look forward to this miraculous manifestation of your promises in our lives in this season. And we give you glory for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.